कृष्णेरायथेकखिला सर्वोत्तमनरलीला नरबपुतार स्वरूपम् गोपवेश वेणुखर नवकिशो नतबर नरलीलार हय अनुरूप Translation. Lord Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastimes as a human being are the best. His form as a human being is the supreme transcendental form. In this form he is a cowherd boy. He carries a flute in his hand, and his youth is new. He is also an expert dancer. All this is just suitable for his pastimes as a human being. Krishna Madhura Rupa Shuna Sanatana Yerupera ekakana dubaya shaba tribhuvana Sarva prani kore akarshan My dear Sanatana, the sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna is so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all three worlds in the ocean of love. He attracts all the living entities within the three worlds. Yoga Maya Chikshati Vishuddha Sattva Parinati. Tar Shakti Loke Dekhayite. Eru Paratana Bhakta Ganera Budhanatana. Prakata kaila nitta lila hoite. The transcendental form of Krishna is shown to the world by Lord Krishna's internal spiritual energy, which is a transformation of pure goodness. This jewel-like form is the most confidential treasure of the devotees. This form is manifest from Krishna's eternal pastimes. Rupa Deki Apanara Krishna Hoira Chamatkara Ashwadite Mani Ute Kama Pashobhaga Jaranama Sondaryadi Punaga Brahma E rupa nitya tara dhamma. The wonder of Krishna in his personal feature is so great that it attracts even Krishna to taste his own association. Thus, Krishna becomes very eager to taste that wonder. Total beauty, knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, and renunciation are the six opulences of Krishna. He is eternally situated in his opulences. Purport by his divine grace is the Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, the Gokula Lila, are supreme. He also has pastimes in the Vaikunthas, the spiritual world, as Vasudev, Shankarshana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. In his pastimes in the spiritual sky, he lies down in the causal ocean as Karanarna. In his pastimes in the spiritual sky, he lies down in the causal ocean as Karanarnavashayi, the Purusha avatar. His incarnations as a fish, tortoise, and so on are called his causal incarnations. He incarnates in the modes of nature as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. He also incarnates as empowered living entities like Prithu and Vyas. The Supersoul is his localized incarnation, and his all-pervasive aspect is the impersonal Brahman. When we consider impartially all the unlimited pastimes of the Lord, we find that his pastimes as a human being on this planet, wherein he sports as a cowherd boy with a flute in his hands and appears youthful and fresh like a ballet dancer, are pastimes and features that are never subjected to material laws and inebrieties. The wonderful beauty of Krishna is presented in the supreme planet Gokula, Goloka Vrindavan. Inferior to that is his representation in the spiritual sky, and inferior to that is his representation in the external energy, Devi Dhamma. A mere drop of Krishna's sweetness can drown these three worlds, Goloka Vrindavan, Hari Dhamma, Vaikuntha Loka, and Devi Dhamma, the material world. Everywhere, Krishna's beauty merges everyone in the ecstasy of transcendental bliss. Actually, the activities of Yoga Maya are absent in the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets. She simply works in the supreme planet, Goloka Vrindavan, and she works to manifest the activities of Krishna when he descends to the material universe to please his innumerable devotees within the material world. Thus, a replica of Goloka Vrindavan planet, of the Goloka Vrindavan planet and the pastimes there are manifest on this planet on a specific tract of land, Goma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan Dham on this planet. Om Jnanat Marandasya Jnananjana Shlakaya Chakshuru Miditanyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Maha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Kapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Lord Chaitanya is continuing his instructions to Sanatana Goswami. Previously in this chapter, he became absorbed in the opulences of Lord Krishna. His mind became bewildered, and he told more about the opulences of Krishna, that everything in this world, we become awe-inspired just by some little magic trick or somebody with some power or money or something like that. But everything in the world is going on under the three modes of material nature, like the controlling deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. And they are just serving Krishna. They're carrying out the will of Lord Krishna on Goloka Vrindavan. He's so supremely opulent, even in the Vaikuntha planets, they're attracted to Krishna. And the opulence there is that all gold and jewels and anything brilliant and beautiful and fragrant is there in abundance in Haridhamma. We were talking a couple of weeks ago about the verse that said Triadish from the third canto, that the Lord of Threes. So the confidential meaning. There were different threes, like three Purushas, three Gunas, and so forth. But the confidential meaning was that there's this Devi Dhamma, and then there's Hari Dhamma, and then there's Goloka above that. So anyway, last week, I believe it was Pundarik was speaking about how, while describing these pastimes, these opulences of Krishna, how the Lord Brahmas had paid obeisance to him, and all the demigods were offering obeisances and their helmets were touching his feet, then Lord Chaitanya became like a wave of love of Krishna washed over him, and he became absorbed in Krishna's sweetness. And now he's beginning to describe the difference between the Lord of Gokula and the lords of the Vaikuntha planets. And the Vaikuntha planets, there are so many opulences, but the opulences of sweetness that are there in Goloka are not present in the Haridham. that in the Vaikuntha planets, in Haridam, the abodes of Vasudev, Pujamna, Aniruddha, and so forth, there are things are made out of jewels, everything is shining and effulgent, and there's all kinds of riches and gold and so forth. But in Vrindavan, there's even more opulence in the yogurt and the dust from the cows that are coming back from the pasture, and the village rural pastimes in Vrindavan are so sweet. There's a special sweetness because Yoga Maya is acting there. We heard in the purport today, I believe it was in the purport, that that Yoga Maya, this potency of Krishna by which he bewilders his devotees so that they can take a position superior to him and let him become the subordinate in the subordinate role as his parents or as his lovers or as his older friends. This is absent anywhere but Goloka Vrindavan. We heard that today. This is something very special. The actual fact is that he's the origin of everything, he's the source of everything, and the controller of everything. But a higher fact, that is his most intimate love is expressed in the sweetness in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Prime Minister of England, Gladstone, that somebody came, some official came to see him, and he was told to wait. The secretary, the receptionist said, "No, he's very, very busy, you have to wait here." He was waiting for a long time on state business, very important state business, and when the receptionist went away, he decided to peek in the door and see what is the Prime Minister so busy with. And the Prime Minister was down on all fours with his grandson riding on his back like a horse, saying, "You know, get up, giddy up." And the idea is that this was very important business for the Prime Minister. He also was a family man, and he had his intimate relationships with his own family. And in the same way, Krishna's most intimate relationships are with devotees that don't remember by the action of his yoga maya, they don't remember his supremacy like that, and they can have a very close, loving relationship with him, where he enjoys that much more when Mother Yashoda thinks, "I have to take care of him, or if I have to make him eat so that he doesn't get skinny, and I have to show him how to behave properly, teach him good morals. He's stealing from the other neighbors, and I have to teach him not to steal, so she's going to chastise him." He likes that. He runs in fear from her, and he experiences that mood. We can see here how in Lord Chaitanya, in describing this chapter of the opulence and sweetness, how, you know, at one moment one mood takes him over, and another moment then this other mood takes him over, and he speaks in a different way. And he'll even tell Sanatana Goswami at the end of this chapter, I was carried away, I don't know, I didn't intend to speak this way. But this is the actual experience of pure devotees, that their emotions are stimulated, that spiritual emotions is always, they're always free from material misery and the bondage of being forced to do what their material senses are pulling them to do, because they're absorbed in the service of Krishna, and yet their ecstasy is always expanding by these different waves of emotion, bhava, spiritual emotions. So Lord Chaitanya is displaying that in his pastimes, and we're so fortunate to be devotees in this movement of Lord Chaitanya, who revealed to the world, especially, I mean, it's there in Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Puranas and so forth, but Lord Chaitanya emphasized and displayed the emotions of Vrindavan, of the sweetness of Krishna, the special sweetness. And his disciples, like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, they wrote so many literatures describing delineating this sweetness and how it's superior to the opulence of Vaikuntha. Of course, we should remember that all pure devotional service is absolute. We shouldn't think one devotee to be higher than another devotee and so forth. And yet, from this position, I think here he says, if we examine impartially or something like that, we can see. I mean, even Brahman realization, it's transcendental to the three modes of material nature. But yet, the ecstasy, the spiritual emotions of having a personal relationship are absent there. And similarly, the pure devotees in Vaikuntha, they have a relationship that's completely pure and full of ecstasy, but the certain emotional bhavas, certain rasas, don't exist there. And those of the Krishna's planet, which he displays on his pastimes in earth, are superior. And Lord Chaitanya taught the world that the method of worship of Krishna of the gopis of Vrindavan was actually the highest method of worship. You know, their past masters, beyond yogis, some people think, oh, the yogis sit alone in a cave and meditate or by a river, and they're superior to this bhakti is just for the common people, for the women and shudras and so forth. It's the easy path. Srila Prabhupada asks, well, to do it correctly isn't really all that easy, actually. Those who actually succeed in this path, yes, it's easier. You can't even do the other thing. But this, when you're successful in it, you've actually surpassed. You have all the qualities, all the concentration, all the, like Krishna says, yoginam api sarvesham madhikinata ratmana shradhavan vajate yomam samayukta tamomataha. You're more intimately united with Krishna in yoga through devotion than through mechanical control of the senses and breathing and meditation and concentration like that. Your concentration is even more attractive. And Krishna is, the name Krishna itself means he who attracts, like Karsha, you know, the all attractive person. So all the, even the residents of Vaikuntha, even the lords of the Vaikuntha planets are always attracted to Krishna. And in one, I think it was Rupa Goswami, it might be Lalita Madhava or Padyavali, but there was this pastime where Krishna sees himself in the jeweled architecture and becomes so attracted to his own beauty like that. And Lord Chaitanya came to fulfill, in one sense, he wanted to, like we always talk about, he wanted to taste the beauty that Radharani sees in him and the wonderful love that Radharani feels. And this special sweetness of the gopis and Radharani, the highest of all, Lord Chaitanya came to display that. So we're in this movement, we're very, very fortunate to be in this movement. Special mood of the Brijvasis is not found in any other incarnation. Even Lord Rama, he's in a human form also, a very special incarnation. We've been talking about him because of the opening of the temple at his birth site in Ayodhya. But his pastimes are imbued with the chivalry, the sense of being the best, the ideal king and the ideal human being. And they don't have a lot of the playful, sportive, sweet nature of Krishna's pastimes. One time I asked Bhakti Charu Swami, I said, you know, we hear this famous song about little Lord, baby Lord Rama trying to walk and faltering as he tries to walk. And isn't that, a song full of this bhava, the Krishna's kind of the yoga maya bhava, you know, feeling how cute this diminutive Lord Rama is. And he told me, well, that's Tulsidas. And, Tulsidas, a great Hindi Vaishnava poet, he came after Lord Chaitanya. So he mixed in some of the mellows that of Krishna into his telling of the Ramayana. That was the answer that Bhakti Chura Swami gave me. But we see the filial devotion of Rama to Dasharatha and so forth in the original Valmiki Ramayana, but we don't see this so much this kind of chastising the rascal little Rama and things like that. That's only there in Krishna Lila, and it's only in Krishna Lila. There are so many unlimited avatars and unlimited manifestations of Krishna and unlimited spiritual planets in the spiritual world, but this is something very unique to Lord Krishna. That's what Lord Chaitanya is teaching Sanatana Goswami here. I thought let's go over the actual verses and read them carefully, but, you know, close reading as lawyers say, that I was interested in that it says that his form, the jewel-like form, is the most confidential treasure of the devotees, and that his form is manifest from his eternal pastimes. So I found that it to be an interesting sentence, that his Krishna's form is manifest from his eternal pastimes. I'm not sure I understand it, but it jumped out at me. I like to read these statements and try to understand them and think about them, and I welcome any devotee who has some comments or realizations about that. But it's said that especially in Vrindavan, the dust of Vrindavan is very, very treasured, valuable substance. It's one of the things about Vrindavan that never changes. I'm going to Vrindavan starting tomorrow, so I'm excited. And it's said that one particle of that dust is more valuable than anything in the entire universe, the universe itself, all the jewels and gold and riches and palaces and whatever exists. One can't even be as valuable as one particle of Raj. So this is being taught and displayed by Lord Chaitanya and displayed throughout his eternal pastimes, his absorption in Krishna. Now there were some devotees, for example Murari Gupta, who even if they tried to concentrate on Krishna, they couldn't give up their devotion to their in Murari Gupta's case, to his Lord Brahm. And also Rupa and Sanatana and his brother Anupam. Was it brother or nephew? Brother. He couldn't also concentrate his bhajan on Radha and Krishna. Like them, he was very attached to his devotional service to Lord Rama. And that's perfect. Devotees may have perfect love for a particular feature of Krishna. You know, Prahlad Maharaj is the greatest devotee. He worshipped Lord Nrisimhadev. And it's not that there shouldn't be any sense of, you know, rivalry or anything like that. It's Krishna. Krishna's present. He's non-dual and he's present in all these different manifestations. But at the same time, Lord Chaitanya's disciples delineated the different aesthetic differences between spiritual emotions of these kind of different devotees, and found that there is more the spiritual emotions of the devotees in Vrindavan is more complete, it's more full, and therefore Krishna is the original avatari from whom everyone else, all the other Vishnu forms, and Supreme Personality of Godhead forms are emanating from. They're partially represented. Sometimes we hear this phrase like a plenary portion of a portion, and we can concentrate on what that means. But like Mahavishnu is there, and he's representing some of Krishna's character, but not all of it. So he's just a partial representation, a manifestation of Lord Krishna. And the original is in Vrindavan, like we were saying before with the story of the Prime Minister, that Krishna's associates in Vrindavan are his real family, his most intimate. They share that most intimate love, and that's, you know, who we really are. Deep down, we have something that's most of us. All of us are devotees. We may experience this, that, that, you know, especially if we're out in the world, we have business and things, we have association with non-devotees, but our deep core of our heart, our real guiding principle of our life is our devotional service. There's a story from the Niti Shastra Prabhupada told that, you may know the story, there was a monkey and he used to play in the trees above a river, and there was a crocodile that would swim in the river, and one day the crocodile said, you know, "Oh monkey, every day I see you playing up in the trees in the river, I'm here swimming in the water, and how come we never, you know, become friends? Why don't you come over to my house and meet my wife and we can have dinner?" And the monkey said, okay, and jumped down and got on the crocodile's back as the crocodile was taking him home. And the crocodile said, "Well, now that you're here in the river, I may as well tell you that our plan is that we're going to eat you. We'll have you for dinner. And that way, you'll be our, not just our guest, but our actual meal." And then the clever monkey didn't, you know, react right away in a way that would make the crocodile fight with him. But he said, he said, "We're going to eat your heart. We're going to cut out your heart and eat it." So the monkey said, "Oh, fine, but, you know, I left my heart up in the tree. Let me go back and get it." And before the crocodile could understand what was going on, he jumped back up in the tree. Then he said, "You know, my dear crocodile friend, I'm not coming back." So... So the devotees also may have to be involved in the material world somehow, but our core, our heart, our inner desire is always to please our spiritual master and serve Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And similarly, Krishna's innermost heart is among the devotees in Vrindavan, and it is his various features as the Leela avatars, or as the Purusha avatars, or as the Shakti Avesh, empowered living entities, or as the Gunas, and all these different kinds of avatars, are not his most intimate, not his most, the full expression of his personality, like that. So I'd like to open it up for some discussion. I know it's a little early, but I'm sure we can generate more discussion if anyone has any comments or questions.
Thank you for your class. Just a thought came to my mind as you were speaking, and I'd like you to comment on it. When you were telling the story of Blackstone, you know, the person looking into and seeing the intimate interaction with his grand child. I thought, aren't we a little presumptuous that we want to be part of Krishna's family? We are such an intimate family. Just that thought came to my mind, and I wanted to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, you might say it's presumptuous of us, but I would say that our spiritual master comes from that family, and he's calling us to that family. And Lord Chaitanya came to call everyone. We see in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes that all these other great devotees from Vaikuntha, from different pastimes, Prahlad Maharaj, and all these different devotees from different parts of the spiritual world and different leelas, they come and join Lord Chaitanya's pastimes to get a glimpse of that sweetness. We can't presume, we shouldn't be like those who think, imagine this is what my pure spiritual form is. I'm this in Vrindavan or this person in Vrindavan or something like that. We can't do that. Our spiritual master has to reveal that to us, and it will be revealed to us in time achieve, by the grace of Krishna, we achieve pure devotional service. I remember one time I was in Vrindavan and Dhamal Krishna Maharaj was speaking, and he was telling us that we're all Vrijbasis, that everybody in this movement is going to be. And I was surprised because Srila Prabhupada didn't so much speak in that way. It was like, well, our relationship with Krishna would be revealed to us, and maybe we'll be in Ramlila, or maybe we'll be in Vaikuntha somewhere or something like that. But Dhamal Krishna was assuring us, no, that you've come in by mercy of Prabhupada, you've joined this movement, and you're destined to be in the Leela. That's what he was saying. That's imbued with the sweetness of Madhurya Rasa, which is there. Even the trees and creepers, they have a neutrality relationship. Even the animals in Vrindavan have a neutrality relationship, but it's imbued with the sweetness of Vrindavan. Yeah, it's presumptuous. We shouldn't feel presumptuous. We should feel like somehow or another, that we're so fortunate that Prabhupada has picked us up. Or the devotees that we've met, our partner Pradarshak and Guru, somebody has come and distributed a book to us and brought us into contact with this Lord Chaitanya's movement. And yeah, we shouldn't feel like if someone becomes super attracted to some other form of devotional service, we shouldn't feel like, they've fallen down or something like that. Maybe they're eternal relationship. Can you say something more about it?
You're telling about Dhamal Krishna Maharaj. I remember attending some yatra, Radhanath Maharaj, and he was talking to maybe 6,000-7,000 devotees in front of him. And he said, if you knew how advanced you were, something to the effect, in other words, I can't tell you how advanced you are, if you actually knew how advanced you are, you'd be surprised, or something to the effect, expressing similar kind of thing that you mentioned about the Mahakrishnamaraj. But no, I really appreciated your answer. Thank you for that.
How advanced we? Prabhupada said we were like green mangoes. The idea was someone said, which of your disciples are pure devotees or something like that. And Prabhupada said, all of my disciples are pure devotees. And it was like, we were all, what? And Prabhupada said that, mango is a mango, even if it's not ripe yet. It's already a mango. So, if we can stick to this process. Prabhupada was very optimistic, that to actually achieve perfection of yoga in devotional service is like something very, very rare, And when someone is liberated, like when Dhruva Maharaj went back to the spiritual world, all the demigods are throwing flowers and everybody's like a big occasion for a big celebration, you know, more important than, you know, whoever won the World Series or whatever, the people there, the cricket, whatever the people are thinking are important. But nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada was optimistic that if you stick to this process, if you change your rounds every day, you follow the four regular principles, you don't have to do it for very long. How long are you going to be alive? Another 50, 70 years, whatever. You know, you just do this, and then you will actually see Krishna, you will kiss Krishna, he said. And we can take his word for it. So, I think somewhere in Hawaii or somewhere he told the devotees, if you chant this second chapter of the first canto every morning and evening, then you will attain perfection in this lifetime. And then the astonishing thing was that, you know, people started it for a little while and then gave up, you know, but these benedictions are there. And by serving in this movement, especially by distributing Prabhupada's books, but doing all the service in this movement, but the outreach service is very important. Prabhupada, he made it clear to us that the book distribution was very, very pleasing to him. Then we will actually, we're intimately connected with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is a Vrindavasi. He's, you know, Prabhupada is definitely a Vrindavasi. He said, Vrindavan is my home, and Mayapur is my place of worship, and Bombay is my business office. Someone else? Something?
An amazing thing about being Vrijvasis, you know, our destination being Goloka Vrindavan, is that each of us will attain a form in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and in Krishna's pastimes simultaneously. And we get that, get there.
Well, we're already, in a sense, we're in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes now. He came to this planet, you know, 550 years ago, and his movement is now expanding around the world. And yeah, devotees in this world, they meditate on Krishna in their heart, and they're living in two places at one time like that. But it's said that in Goloka Vrindavan, there's a portion of Goloka Vrindavan that's Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and in that portion there's Jagannath Puri, and there's Navadvip, and South India. I think South India is part of the Jagannath Puri part, and there's Vrindavan there too, where Lord Chaitanya goes. I don't remember all these things. One time I talked to Bhaktisvarup Damodar Maharaj about it, and he said, that's theology. Like, there was a way he said, like, it wasn't that important to know all these details, that because I was asking him some intricate question that, you know, but it's more important to be able to do our service and avoid the 10 offenses, and, you know, and then everything will be revealed to us. But I forget what I was saying about Lord Chaitanya in Goloka, and he said, well, Lord Chaitanya is Radharani. You know? And I said, yes, but Bhakti Vinodakur wrote that there was this other part of Goloka. And he said, that's theology. So I can read them one more time, these verses, because they really, this is very essential to Lord Chaitanya's teachings. We don't read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya book enough. That's a book that Prabhupada gave us early on before we had the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's a very good book. It's different teachings to Ramananda Roy, teachings to Prakashananda, to Sarvabhauma, and so forth. And then teachings to Sanatana Goswami. Lord Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastimes as a human being are the best. So we have these Leela avatars, and not all of them are humans. We have a fish, a tortoise, a boar, you know, half man, half lion, like that. But his form as a human being is the supreme transcendental form. In this form, he is a cowherd boy. So now this, we're talking specifically about Krishna, that he carries a flute in his hand, and his youth is new. But we've heard recently how there's, of all the 64 qualities of Krishna, that there's four qualities that even Vishnu doesn't possess. And one of them is that he attracts the world by his playing on his flute. And he has especially sweet pastimes, and he has an especially beautiful form, and he has especially loving devotees, with special kind of love there. So these four things. He's an expert dancer. The characters of Krishna are described in the Nectar of Devotion. There's chapters on the characteristics of Krishna's own character. He's Dira Lalita and Dira Prashant. And, you know, there's different, and they're very, it's very fun to read. There's one of them, one kind of a character, I don't even remember what it's called. You know, there's Dira Datta and you know, Rupa Goswami recites a prayer from King Indra after the pastime of Govardhan Hill, and he says this perfectly explains the character of the person whose character is Dira Datta. There's one of them where it's someone who's bold and aggressive and sharp, and the examples are given of how Krishna told Kalyavana, "You're a sinful frog, and I'm a black snake that's going to eat you. You should go find a dark well to live in," and stuff. They're saying that even Prabhupada is writing that even things that appear to be, you know, not peaceful, envious, appear to be bad. In Krishna, they're also good. That Krishna is complete, and there's no contradictions in him. And so he even has these, when he chastises demons, it's also wonderful. When I was a young hippie, and we were distributing Krishna book among our hippie friends, and some, I remember one lady in particular was saying, "Krishna's killing, it's too violent, you know, I don't want my children to read about Krishna killing demons and stuff like that. You know, we're in the peace movement, we're against the war, or whatever." But when Krishna does it, it's very pleasing and wonderful. And so this is, Nectar of Devotion is also a very wonderful book to read about the character of Krishna. So it says, "The sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna is so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all three worlds in the ocean of love. He attracts all the living entities within the three worlds." So sometimes, you know, there's 14 planetary systems. We just sung that song today, you know, that Nama Vina Kichu Nahito Ara Chodha Vivina Maja. In the 14 planetary systems, there's nothing but the holy name, you know, it's Bhaktivinoda for us. But sometimes they're divided into upper, middle, and lower planets, the three worlds. But this, we discussed this a couple of weeks ago, that the three worlds, and the confidential understanding is that there's the material world, and there's the world of Vaikuntha, and then there's the special world of Goloka. And he attracts everyone in all three of those worlds by his beauty, his special beauty. One of his characteristics in the Nectar of Devotion is that he has, I don't remember whether it's Dira, I don't remember what it is, but he's Haribol, thank you. He's expert in joking, and it's usually a characteristic that they describe as Cupid is like that. But he's expert in joking and being very clever, and also he's an expert flirt, you know. So those characteristics, they're not found in other. In other incarnations as much. Krishna does this playful romantic lila, which, you know, is very similar to material activities, material lusty activities. So one should be very, very careful. And Goswami's really been careful, even though this is the most important, intimate means of devotional service. They were careful in, like Srila Prabhupada said there in the Nectar of the Ocean, he just wanted to write too much about that at this point. At that point in the Nectar of the Ocean, about the Rasamrita Sindhu. But of course, the Goswamis did write about these things. In fact, in Vrindavan, there's one sort of shed built, and the devotees worship it there. And inside, there's literature that was considered too intimate for people to know about, for the general public. So they keep the literature locked up or built into a building, a small building, nobody reads it, because these pastimes, like, you know, for example, Gita Govinda, I was on Harinam in San Francisco, and one yoga student was telling us that, you know, asking me about Gita Govinda, and her teacher was telling them about that. And I said, well, you know, Srila Prabhupada considered it, you know, we sing the Dasha Avatar Stotra, but some of the pastimes and things are so intimate in their nature, and they might be confused with ordinary lusty activity, so Prabhupada didn't really give that to us to study. Maybe we can study it later. But we should just be careful. It's said that one who hears the pastimes of Rasalila and so forth, they become free from the bondage of lust. So it's not that we shouldn't study them, but we just have to be very, very careful. Bhaktisiddhanta didn't speak frequently on that aspect. He went to Radhakund to speak, and he was speaking every day on the Upanishads. At first, all the Babajis were coming, oh, here's a famous sadhu, let's come here and speak. But then, what is this, the Upanishads? We don't want to hear about the Upanishads. Someone asked a few weeks ago, you know, if we want to go enter into the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes, why do we have to study about his opulences and his relationship with this material world and creation and all that thing? But we need to see our relationship with the material world, and we need to see how the senses are pulling us, and how we need to see all these things. We can't jump up to think that we can actually, you know, these intimate devotees of Krishna, like Madhupati was saying, and we can't be presumptuous and think that we deserve that association. It's said that, I'm getting near the end, it's said that one of the tasks of Durga Devi, her thankless task is she has to prevent people who are unqualified from entering into the spiritual planets and disturbing the atmosphere there. So sometimes yogis become very powerful, and she has to tempt them and make them fall down in different ways and destroy them because, if they're not qualified to actually enter into the pastimes. Just like even the rasas have to be properly mixed. There's the literature of Rupa Goswami about aesthetics is so sophisticated the advanced devotees have to learn about improper mixing of mellows and to do everything just right. So simply, pure devotees, when they finally start experiencing spiritual emotions like this more and can participate in spiritual leelas and things, then they still have to learn these fine points of how to behave. So they don't belong. They'll mess everything up. It was one of the UN people or something like that. He describes someone as being a skunk at a garden party. You know, we don't want to be the... So we have to be qualified for all these things. Pure devotees there completely control their senses. More so, they don't have to. When Krishna was in Kurukshetra, and he was teaching Radharani Bhagavad Gita, you know, just think of me and I'm present in my name, and you know, and she was saying, you know, think of you, that's my problem, I can't stop thinking of you. And that's what's killing me. But anyway, I'll stop there. Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Lord Chaitanya, Jai Chaitanya Charitamrita.
I just want to say that Sri Vrindavan would like us, everybody, to make a marathon and try to distribute Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita until Gopal.
Jai, distribution of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jai. Yes. And the whole Alachua Yatra, and that we can increase book distribution. I'm going with Vaisheshika to his Yatra. So, and there's a great book distribution acharyas.